steps on my toes. I don't care for weak gospel singing. Let the holy hallelujahs roll. I'll join in with saints as they're praying for a world that needs hope for today. It doesn't matter what others are saying. I'll stay in the old time way.
The way that believes in Jesus. For he makes lost sinners brand new. The way that believes Bible and proclaims every word is true.
I'll keep looking for his returning. Heaven's promise is mine to claim.
What a joy to know I'm forgiven. Praise God for the old time way.
When I live and love more like Jesus, those around will see who he is. Not of works, but by grace through faith.
Standing firm on a solid foundation, I'll stay in the old.
Can I write in it? Can I put a couple songs, numbers in it? Yeah. I got one. Good morning. Glad everybody could be here today. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for how you work. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Lord, be with the services today. Be with VBS this week. We can't wait to see what you're going to do. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's all stand and turn to 327. 327. Pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Doubts of strife and fears dismay, whose aim dwell with these abound. My prayer, my aim, and higher ground. Lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Satan starts on me a hurl. For faith will come the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the mountains of glory bright, but still I pray till heaven I found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lift me up and let me stand, by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Amen. Turn over to 225, trust and obey, and you may be seated. Page 325. No, did I just... Sorry.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. What we do is good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the sky, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, and a toil He doth richly repay. A frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
On the last,
when in fellowship sweet we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Thank you for your singing. Thank you, Miss Sarah. All right. Welcome to church. Starting tomorrow, we're having our annual vacation Bible school starting at 6:30 p.m. with Josh Wells, Saturday the 22nd. Bus visitation, church-wide, Operation Saturation, and soul winning. Sunday the 23rd, our missionaries, Trask for the Task, will be here with us in the evening. August 1st through the 3rd, the Youth Con at Heartland Baptist Bible College. August 5th, that Saturday, the Sportsman's Clinic in Hastings, Nebraska. We'll be leaving Friday night. The clinic starts at 9 o'clock in the morning and go until 4. And then they drive home. And Talk to Brother Glore if you have any questions. And then Sunday, August 13th, it's the back to school, and then promotional Sunday and snow cones for all. Please remember the prayer request on the back, and please remember to pray for our missionaries. Thank you. Brother, it's all yours.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Bethel Baptist Church Adult Sunday School class. And today is Sunday. Yeah, okay, we got that down. All right, so if you have your Bibles, we'll be looking in Acts chapter 20 today. Again, hopefully, I'm going to try to finish chapter 20 today, but there's a few important and very important verses here that we need to go over a little bit. So we'll start there in verse 20. I'm going to start reading here in chapter 20, and I'm going to read start here in verse 20. And it says, and let's back up to 19. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have shewed you and have taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Talked a little bit about that last week. That is exactly what God wants us to do when we accept Him as our personal Savior. The first thing we need to do is repentance toward God and then faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, because we are sinners. And then he goes on to say in verse 22, and now, behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things which shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witness to in every city, saying the bonds and the afflictions abide me. He said, but none of these things move me, neither can I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received in the in the Lord Jesus, and testify the gospel of the grace of God. So his statement there, we talked about that a little bit last week, and we're looking a little bit more onto it this week. But and verse 25 says, and now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. He's telling them, hey, you're not going to see me anymore. I'm leaving this area, and I'm not going to be back. Now that's, as I looked into this verse a little bit more, there's a possibility that he did come through that way in another visit. But he, at this time, he's looking at it and saying, I doubt it if I'm going to see you again. You know, there's a lot of times we meet some people and we may say to them, you know, this may be the last time. This last time we may see you. So that's kind of what he was saying here, because he didn't know of the things that were laying ahead of him. And so anyway, he wanted to let them know that he had preached the word. Go on, verse 26 says, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. We'll talk a little bit about that today. And it says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter into among you, and not spare the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver, nor gold, nor apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. Have shewed you all things how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoke, he knelt down and prayed with them all, and they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that he should see his face no more, for they had accompanied him to the ship. And so that's chapter 20 there. We're going to look at a few of these verses. Going to back up just a little bit and look at this. But I wanted to make sure I got it all read today. So we got through chapter 20. Okay. But we'll get into a little bit more detail here and maybe not get through it all today. But anyway, we're going to start right here, back here again in verse 24. This proclamation, or what he states here, he told them that he's in verse 22, he was being led by the Spirit to Jerusalem, but he didn't know what was going to befall him there. And in the next few chapters, we're going to see what's going to happen there. It says, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saving that bonds and affliction abide. So he says, everywhere I've gone, I've been told that the bonds and affliction are going to abide. But he makes this proclamation here in verse 24, and he says, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy at the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So he said, this is my whole purpose. This is what I've done, and this is what I'm going to do. And I think we looked at a few verses last week. First, or 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, he says this there to Timothy. He says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I believe, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. That was his commitment that he had made. He knew, and you know, if there's anyone in the New Testament we can look at, the Apostle Paul is one of those that his life changed completely. Not only did his name change from Saul to Paul, but his life was completely changed. There is met the Lord on the Damascus Road, and he realized that he was speaking to the Lord himself, and realized who Jesus was, and realized that Jesus was not only the Son of God, but God the Son, and his whole life changed for that moment. Old things passed away, and behold, all things become new. Because, and we can see it right here that he's saying in this verse of Scripture, nevertheless, I am not ashamed. There was nothing he was ashamed of. And you know, as Christians, we need to remember that there's nothing we need to be ashamed when we're talking to people and telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ. We're giving them the Scriptures, the Word of God. And I believe that he strived hard in his ministry, that he wanted to show them that he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He says, for I know in whom I believed. You know, when we accept Christ as our personal Savior, that's one important reason why it is important to nail it down and know what it is we did when we accepted him as our Savior. You know, when I look back at it, when I accepted Christ as my personal Savior, I'm not sure I understood all of it, but I did know one thing, that I was a sinner and I was lost and I was on the road to hell, and I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. And I was so glad the preacher that led me to the Lord gave me a New Testament and told me to get into the book. It's important. And the more I got into the book, And I believe the Apostle Paul, of course, he was learned in the Old Testament. He knew those things. He was able to put it all together and realize that realize what he had did that day when he accepted Christ as his Lord on the Damascus Road, and that it strengthened him. And it says, I know in whom I believe, and I'm persuaded. Totally persuaded. You know how persuasion comes? When we get into the Word of God and we find out the things that God did, and it persuades us. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, first verse there says, and faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And that's how we're persuaded. Persuaded by through the things of the Word of God. We know that it's by faith. Verse 6 in Hebrews chapter 6 says, for without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so we know it's by faith. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul did there on the Damascus Road. He accepted the Lord as his personal Savior. By faith, he put it all together that he was now talking to not only the Jesus Christ, but also the Son of God and God the Son. And by faith, he put it all together and realized the Old Testament was all fulfilled in this man, Jesus Christ. As we said, just read that verse just a little bit before that, it's he told them, in verse 21, it says, testifying both to the Jews and also the Greeks, repentance toward God. You know what Paul did on the Damascus Road? He repented to God. He knew that he was destroying the Christians. He knew he was doing that. For one of the first things he did, he repented. He said, Lord, realized who it was, and he repented toward him. And then what this last part says, faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And our faith, we can be totally persuaded, as I said in this verse here. We can be persuaded when we get into God's Word and we see the things that He did. And we can look back in our lives and see the things that He's blessed us with. Just my wife and I have been talking the last few, probably a couple of weeks, about God's blessings. How blessed we really are. And some days we just don't realize that he does so many things for us every day that we take for granted. You know, I don't know about you, but, you know, I'm so blessed when I get up in the morning, and I do know that it's harder to get out of bed than it's ever been in my entire life. And every day it seems like it gets a little harder, but I'm blessed. God has allowed me to see another day. So I'm saying, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God's got something for us every day of our lives. And we need to be blessed. Realize we're being blessed for those things. I just, you know, the other day, Connie was able to get up, and we went outside and walked around and looked at the plants. That's a blessing. That's a blessing that we can do those things. And sometimes we take those things for granted every day. When we're in good physical shape, you know, we take things so much for granted, but we're blessed by God. We're blessed blessed by God because we live in a great country. You know, I see all these flags around us and everything. And I was looking back there, the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to, it's the wrong flag. I pledge allegiance to the American flag. No, what's it say? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And now I'm messing up with the other one. I ought to go back and read this. If I get my mic on, I'll read it to you. But anyway, it says in there, one nation under God. You know, so many times when we do quote the pledge, we say one nation, comma, under God. And that's not what it says. And right there on there, it tells you the comma is after one nation under God. It's all together. And that's the way our forefathers, I believe, put it. This is one nation under God. We're blessed because of God. That's the whole purpose. And one of these days, you know, when my mind gets back, I'll be able to say that. When we get ready to pledge the flags, I will. But anyway, so we're blessed. That's what I'm saying here. And because of those blessings, because we see in God's Word the things that He's given us, we can be persuaded. I'm persuaded. I know in whom I believe. I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He saved us. And so Paul, because of this, he says in verse 24 here, But none of all the things that's happening to him, the things that will happen tomorrow, the things that's going to happen the next day, I don't know. I don't have any control of those things. But I do know who does. And so I'm blessed. I'm blessed in that. He says, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. What did he say? For me to live into Christ, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You know, sometimes I think we get it all wrong as we live in our lives. We need to realize that every day we have, we need to live it for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when we die, we look at death sometimes and think, oh, no, that's a terrible thing. No, for us Christians, it's gain. It's gain. We put this old body away, and all things, again, become new, brand new for us. It's gain, and that's what the Apostle Paul, so as he was writing this, he said, I count not my life dear unto myself. He said, why? Because he counted it gain. To live for Christ is gain. For those that he lived, but to die is gain, he said. But anyway, he says here, and he says, the next part is that, so that I might finish my course. And we know that he tells us in 2 Timothy, talks about finishing his course. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 there, this is known as believed to be the last epistle that the Apostle Paul wrote before his death. And in 2 Timothy, I'll get there in just a minute. I can quote this part, but I know that I would mess it up. Anyway, here it is. He says, verse 7, it says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. We all have a course. We need to realize we're running a race. We can see that in the book of Hebrews. Look at that in just a minute here. But we're in a race, and so we need to finish the course, and that's what he's saying here. And he says, I fought a good fight, so I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Amen. Kept the faith. Again, he goes back to faith. That faith he put in the Lord Jesus Christ there on the Damascus Road. And so he says, I finished my course. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 tells us there we're compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. If I turn the other direction, I'll find it. There it is. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And I'm learning more and more as we go through tribulations and different things. The way to overcome tribulations is patience. Be patient. Be patient. Let God work. And I think sometimes we want to get ahead of God. We want to figure everything out in our mind for ourselves. And we want to do that. But you know what we got to do? We got to be patient. He said that we might run our race with patience. The race that's set before us. Let us run with patience the race that's set before us. Well, how do we do that? Next verse. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He finished it all for us there on the cross of Calvary. He said, I'm crucified with, Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So he's saying here, he's the finisher of our faith. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He was facing death, but he did it with joy, knowing that he was going to sit down at the right hand of God. And we can go through our life, and we need, as Christians especially, we can realize that one day we're going to finish this course with joy. With joy. And so the Apostle Paul, I believe here in this portion of Scripture in Acts, here he's telling them, he wants them to understand we all have a course. And he says he's running his course. He said, and then he says, I'm finishing my course with joy. and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ to testify the gospel of God's grace. He's no longer preaching a gospel of the law, as a Pharisee, and trying to live under the law and all that. All of a sudden, he knows now it's for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so it tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, there, verse 8 and 9. So it's God's grace. And now he says, my course, or the course that I'm running, and he says, what I'm doing here, he says, I've received of the Lord Jesus Christ to testify of God's grace. If anyone could testify of the grace of God, he would be the Apostle Paul. He was a murderer. He did all these things, but he knew that God had removed his sins as far as the east is from the west and remembered them no more. He wasn't going to look back at those sins. He was going to go forward for the cause of Christ. And that's what he did. And that's what he is saying here. He says he's testifying of the grace of God. And, you know, many people in Ephesus and different other churches, they looked at Paul and said, well, I don't know really if he really is an apostle. You know, I don't think Paul really cared what they thought. He knew what God had did for him. He was willing to stand up for the grace of God. He knew, and he was there to be a testimony of the gospel of God's grace. God loved us so much, the Bible tells us, that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus Christ, God himself, took upon himself the form of flesh and became obedient even to the death of the cross. And so he's testifying of the grace of God that God has bestowed upon the world. He's no longer living under the law. We're living under grace. Right. And the Bible tells us that we need to glorify him. You know, the Bible, a lot of times, I'll look in Ephesians chapter 2 just a minute to make sure. And a lot of times people get so many things confused. I can't say that I'm without confusion, because sometimes I'm quite confused. Sometimes I don't even know where I'm at. But anyway, my lights are on, but I'm not at home sometimes. But anyway, as it says right here in Ephesians, I quoted it a little bit ago, but I want to read this again so we understand the whole concept here of what God's saying. He says, I'm going to back up to verse 7. And it says that in the ages to come, he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. Who's that? God is showing this to us, his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. See, it's God's grace that allows us to be saved. Then he goes on to say, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, a lot of times people, this is where I think majority of the churches really get confused. Because the next verse says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God wants us to work for him, but we're not doing it to get saved. We're doing it because we are saved. A person doesn't get baptized because to get saved. We don't get baptized to get saved. We're baptized because we are saved. That's the first step for baptism. It has to have the right candidate. Then we have to have the right method. Then we have to have the right mode, and then the method through the local New Testament church, the church that Jesus has built. But so it tells us here, it's. A lot of times people try to add something to salvation, but the Bible plainly teaches us all these things. Works, as I'm talking about right here in verse 10, says, for we are his workmanship. He is the one that's going to work through us, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We need to do those things. We need to do the things that God wants us to do. And one of the things is we need to be in God's word so that we can be totally persuaded, just like the Apostle Paul was. He was persuaded in his faith. He realized who Jesus was, and he was committed to him here in verse 20. And then now we're down here in verse 26. It says, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure of the blood of all men." And right here in this portion of Scripture, I wrote something down on this. I want to make sure I find this, because this is, oh, that's the wrong sheet. I'll get there in just a minute in another page. it talks about, he says, I am not to be charged with the guilt of your condemnation. In other words, people were talking to him and trying to condemn him of all kinds of things. But he says, as owning to my own unfaithfulness, a writer that I read, he said this. He says, this does not mean that he set up a claim of absolute perfection. When he said he was pure, he wasn't saying I'm absolutely perfect. A lot of people think a person get sanctified and you're perfect. You'll be perfect from then on. It's not so. It won't be. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so he's not saying I'm pure here that he has done no wrong. He's saying that in the matter of consideration, he had a conscience void of offense. That's what he was talking about. I have a conscience that's void of offense. I've tried to be as pure as I possibly can. And we can find this in other places. Let me see, where did I write it down here? Acts 24, a couple of verses back here, or a couple of chapters, or a couple of forward, that's right. 24 does come before, after 20. Okay, let's look at 24 verse 16, yeah. He says, the Apostle Paul here is standing before Felix, and he makes this statement in verse 16. He says, "Wherein I do exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and men." That's the same word as he was saying here, that I am pure, void of offense toward God and man. And so that's what he told Felix at that time. So it was important here in this particular verse that we realize when he's saying pure here, that he's, that doesn't mean he's, you know, sanctified and he's done no wrong or any of those things. That's not what he's saying. But he says he's pure from the blood of all men. In other words, he's preached the gospel and nobody's going to be able to stand before him and say, "Nobody told me." He didn't tell me. He didn't tell me. You know, sometimes I'm afraid I have to confess to you that that's not going to be a case with me before the Lord. There's going to be some people that I failed to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very important, I believe, that we need to do that, to make sure that our conscience is void of offense between God, before God and man. And so the Apostle Paul is stating this to these elders here that he's talking to. And in verse 27 says, he says, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." And talking to this verse here, he's talking about all the counsel of God. He's taking them back to Genesis and showing them from the beginning when God told Eve that the enmity was be going between his seed or her seed and Satan's, and that he was talking about the Lord that was going to come. There was a Messiah that was going to come. And then we can see in other parts of the scriptures in the Old Testament where they talked about the Messiah coming. And this is what Apostle Paul, in this particular verse of scripture here, he's talking about all the counsel of God. He's gone through from Genesis clear through to the present time when Jesus Christ had come, and he was giving them the whole counsel of God that the Messiah had come, from the book of Isaiah through Jeremiah and all the prophets and the different prophecies that were fulfilled. And I think you can look in the book of Hebrews, and you can find in the book of Hebrews there's a lot of things. They talk about angels, Melchizedek, Abraham, all those things. He shows Jesus Christ more above all those things. And so and when he's stating in this verse of scripture that he's declaring unto them all the counsel of God, he was giving them everything that God had showed him and had told him. So, and then in verse 28 says, take heed therefore of yourself unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And so in this verse of scripture, he tells us that we need to take heed, to listen up. Let's look and compare a verse of scripture here to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Comes right before 1 Timothy chapter 2. Okay? All right. Okay, all right. The 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2 through 7 here. It says, a bishop then shall be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigil, sober, and of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, nor striker, nor a greedy or filthy lucre, but a patient, not a brawler, nor covetous. One that rules his own house, having his children subjection with all gravity. For if any man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? You're talking here, read on further a little bit more. he said, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he falleth into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snares of the devil. So as he's taking heed, they need to take heed of these things, the responsibilities that they've been given. In chapter 4, the same chapter in verse 16, he says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrines contained in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So he's saying, take heed. You need to think of these things, the importance of them. And same area in the next chapter, chapter 6, verse 11, he says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. And it says, fight the good fight of faith in the next verse, and lay a hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. And so he's telling them these are the things that they need to take heed of. And so then it goes on to say in that verse 28, it says, and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseer. So here they have some people that they're overseers, that they are the ones that God has brought into their fellowship and into their church. And he says they need to take heed of the flock. Make sure that they're protected. Let's look in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. let's see, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse, where am I at again? Yeah, 13 verse 17. It says, obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your soul as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Now, talking here about that overseer, talking about the pastor here, he says, for us, the people, he says, we need to, it says, to be obedient unto them that have rule over you. That's what the pastor is given to help us, to rule over us, to give us instruction, and the things we just read in some of those other verses. And he's to help us out with these things. He says, and submit yourselves. And sometimes, you know, it's hard for people sometimes to want to submit to somebody else. You know, I know sometimes wives have a hard time submitting to their husband. Not in my house, though. But you know, it does happen. So, but submission is not an easy thing. I remember when I was in the Marine Corps, and we had to submit to the drill instructor. Sometimes it wasn't easy for certain people. Yeah, you know, all of us. But, you know, they just didn't want to do what. Sometimes people want to take a shortcut in submission. Well, I did it sort of, you know. My father-in-law said of my first wife, she was very submissive. She always was submissive to me, but he'd always said, oh, yeah, Sheila, she was willing to do anything. Just don't know when she's going to get around to it. So, I mean, she would submit, you know. But anyway, talking about submission here, we need to submit. So it's a hard thing to do. It says, for he, this is the reason why we need to submit, for they watch for your soul as they that must give an account. You all turn around, point your finger back at the pastor. It's his fault. But, you know, so he's the one that's going to have to give an account for us because of the things he preaches, what he does, and what we do. So it's important what they're saying here is we submit to him, and he's going to give the account, and that they may do it with what? Joy. I hope one day he's joyful for all the things that we've done for him and different things like that. And it goes on to say, not with grief. I don't want him to be grief to me. I prefer to be in good relationship with my pastor. And no grief there. And for it was because it's going to be unprofitable for you. Not for him, for you. And so there's some things we need to look at in this. And it tells the church, he's telling those bishops there, these preachers in Ephesus, and he's telling them to take heed unto yourselves, for all the flock of God over which the Holy Ghost hath made them made you overseers. The Holy Spirit, you know, when the preacher came here, he surrendered to be our pastor, and he came here. The Holy Spirit is the one that moved him here. And so we need to realize that. And he is going to give an account for all these things. And it says, he tells us, and the next part of that verse says, to feed the church of God. God wants his people fed. And you know, that's why we have Sunday school. I know that you have a Bible, and I hope you don't just eat on Sunday morning. On Sunday school, you need to be in the Word of God every day, learning something. It hasn't been a long time. There's times in my life that I can look back. There's some days I missed reading my Bible, but it always has been costly when I did that. You know, I think seen a sign one says sign one time that says one. W-E-E-K without the Bible makes one W-E-A-K, if you, anyway, makes you weak. So So if you go a week without the Bible, you're not going to feel very good the next week. You're just losing something. You need to be in God's Word, and we need to be learning, searching the Scriptures, like the Berean church did. They were in the Word of God, searching the Scriptures. It's important that we do this. We can find these things. And I know there's probably many people here today that have read their Bible. You've got a good understanding of it, but we still sometimes, and we've read it so many times, we think, oh, well, you know, it's an amazing thing to me. I've read through the Scriptures. As a matter of fact, I can't count how many times I've gone through my Bible recently, but every time I read through, I can read into another part and say, I never saw that before. You know why? Because the book is alive. God's Word is speaking to us. He's going to show us something. Well, I didn't see it that way. There's times that I've been reading right here in the 20th chapter of Acts, and I thought, well, I didn't quite see it that way. Why? Because the Holy Spirit talks to us every time the Word is preached. And we're going to have to stop right there because times are out. So let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we are thankful that we serve a great God. Lord, we're thankful, Lord, that you've given us your word that's an encouragement to us. Lord, I'm thankful that we can read about the Apostle Paul and how his life was changed completely. Lord, and we know that same God that talked to him, Lord, talks to us. We're thankful that, Lord, when you called us and when you showed us our sins and we called upon your name, Lord, that you gave us that same power. So, Father, I pray that you just have your will and way in the services today. Be with the pastor as he comes and proclaims the word. I pray that you hide him behind the cross of Calvary. Lord, that you would be lifted up and glorified. Lord, I pray that you would be, that the Holy Spirit would work amongst us. Lord, that our hearts would be touched with your word. Lord, our ears might be open to hear it. And Lord, that our hearts would be changed. Father, we just give you the glory and the praise for all that you'll do in the service to come. We ask it all in thy Son's name, in the precious and holy name of Jesus.